Are you a writer or coach? Do you dream of building a successful online business? Are you tired of hearing the gurus tell you that you need a big launch or a complicated funnel software? Whether you're struggling with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, or just feeling overwhelmed by too many choices, I can help. Hi, I'm Jonathan Milligan, author of Your Message Matters. And I recently put together a free on-demand video training called How to Build an Online Business as a Writer or Coach, The Low-Tech Way. Inside, you'll discover the low-tech system that 30x'd my online business. Just go to freetrainingvideo.net to get started. Again, that's freetrainingvideo.net. Hello and welcome to the Blogging Your Passion podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Milligan, where we're on a mission to help 1,000 bloggers go full-time in the next 5 years. And today, I'm excited to have a guest with us, Chad Allen. Chad, welcome.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
So if you don't know much about Chad, let me just give you a quick intro. Chad's a writer, an editor, speaker, entrepreneur. He's a creativity coach. He serves as the editorial director of Baker Books. He's also the creator of Book Proposal Academy. And he also has a monthly membership site for writers called Bookcamp. Some great resources. I'm sure we'll get into some of the details. But today, our focus is on a title called 9 Little Known Facts About Getting Published. So this is a recent blog post. And I guess starting off, Chad, maybe tell us a little bit about why you felt the need to put this out there for people to read.
Yeah, well, what I found is that as somebody who has been a publishing insider for 20 years now, I sort of take for granted things that that writers who are not publishing insiders just don't know. And mm-hmm. when you interact regularly with writers, you come upon these misconceptions that writers have. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to take a blog post to just clear these up, the most common ones that I'm aware of. And that's what that blog post did.
Yeah. And I loved reading through it. I think it was some great content. We're actually going to walk a little bit through the content today, but I think this is important for any of you who are looking to publish a book down the road and you want to know a little bit of separate the fact from fiction and get at least a little bit of an idea of how it works. And so we're going to just kind of jump through here and kind of talk through some of these. So number one, this is kind of the number one little known fact about getting published, is content is important, but it's not the only thing that's important to publishers. So what do you mean by that?
What I mean is that sometimes writers approach the whole process of traditional publishing. By traditional publishing, I mean going to a publisher and getting a book contract. They approach that process with this mindset of all I need to do is be a great writer. That's all I need to be is a great writer. As long as I bring great content, the publishers will be excited about it. And publishers, don't get me wrong, they do want great content. But in addition to that, they're looking for some sort of engine that's going to promote sales. Novelist Bill Mayer said, content is king, promotion is queen. And that's been my experience in the traditional publishing world. Normally what that looks like is an author's own ability to bring exposure to their own work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. So number two is who you are as a person does matter to publishers. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, when you sign a book contract when an author signs a book contract and the publisher signs that same book contract, you are committed to a relationship for a while. Like if we sign you today, we're probably not going to publish you, certainly not sooner than 6 months from now at the least. And normally it's quite a bit longer than that. So you're in this multi-month relationship, and it's like anything, you like to be in relationships with people whose company you enjoy. And so when I say who you are as a person matters, I just mean, if you're not a nice person to relate with, that will matter to publishers. So it's about being decent. It's about being kind. It's, you know, all those things that our moms told us about, but it becomes really important when you're in a business relationship with a publisher.
Well, and I think also your reputation follows you too, you know? And so it's, it gets passed around. It's, are you an easy person to work with? Are you constantly communicating like you should? I mean, all of those things that happen in a normal relationship need to happen with in relationship to a publisher. So if you're never returning emails, if you're never returning phone calls, if you see them as a means to get to an end, that's not a good sign.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So I love number three, because this kind of flips a little bit of the concept out there on its head, and kind of a little bit of a paradigm shift. So number three is, a great concept can win you a contract regardless of whether you currently have an audience.
Right. And I would just say that this is the exception that proves the rule. In the vast majority of cases, you do need a platform. But the cases where I've seen, and by platform, I mean, you have an audience, you know, you have an email list, you have a tribe, you have a group of people who are interested in what you have to say. In most cases, you need that. But I have seen a handful of cases where a concept was so compelling, so clever, so practical that a publisher was willing to take a chance on that book, thinking that as long as we can distribute this book, the concept itself, the title and subtitle, will do the marketing for us. And so some examples of that, you know, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey, mm-hmm. or How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know, these concepts are so winsome in and of themselves that certainly a platform would help, but publishers, when they see a concept that is that compelling, sometimes they'll take a risk and go for it.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So number four is the fact that many authors secure agents via referral.
Right. A lot of writers come to the whole process of securing an agent with this idea that, well, I'll send out a bunch of queries to agents that I've identified as working in my space, and I'll hear back from some of them. But many, many, many authors don't secure agents that way. They secure agents because an agent's current client, so an author mm-hmm. that agent represents, speaks on behalf of the author or the writer who is seeking an agent. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Well, it means that it pays to build relationships with authors who are working in the same space you are. Already successful authors, already agented authors who are already working in the space you're working in, develop relationships with them. And then it might at some point become natural to ask them, hey, can I talk with you about a book project I'm working on? And that might lead to an introduction to their agent.
Okay. And also, just for those that may be, you know, not familiar with the process at all, why get a literary agent? If I have a great concept, book idea, what would be a benefit of me actually getting a literary agent?
Yeah. So what agents do is, first, I mean, the list of things that an agent does varies from agent to agent. And so, but the fundamental operations of an agent are that they get you in front of publishers. Hmm. And they can also provide you some career advice and even some editorial support sometimes. But their main purpose is to get you in front of publishers that are a good fit for your particular book project. And then they can also negotiate the terms of the contract. So that's what an agent does.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. I used to work as an executive recruiter, and so I had relationships with hiring managers, and I was able to secure some interviews not based upon the actual resume itself, but based on my relationship of me telling them, listen, you really need to take a look at this. You really need to have a conversation with this person. And sometimes that relationship pull can help move your paper to the top of the stack.
That's right. That's a great analogy.
Okay. So number five, and again, we're kind of walking through nine little known facts about getting published. Number five is, the author is a book's number one marketer.
Right. Like, some writers believe that it's their job to write the book and it's the publisher's job to market and distribute it. And that's just not how it is these days. Mm-hmm. You know, the author is the number one marketer. You know, no one is going to promote the book like an author can. So it's really important for authors to enter a book project knowing that not only are they the writer, they are the book's number one cheerleader and promoter. Now, that doesn't mean that the publisher just, that you should expect your publisher to just kind of sit back and let you do all the work. No, they should be a collaborative partner with you and strategize the best possible plan for getting your book out there. That doesn't take away from the fact that you as the author are, you have to be the one that's getting the eyeballs on your book.
Yeah. And oftentimes when you're going the traditional route, there is a whole process of, you know, when you pretty much got the complete manuscript up until the day it's launching, that is perfect for an author to be starting to use whatever platform he does have to start creating the buzz, start talking about it, start building that. I know a friend that we both have, Carrie Oberbrunner, often talks about market before you manufacture, and how when he delivered his manuscript, he thought, you know, I don't have to wait until the book goes live to start talking about this. And he started talking it up and talking it with the influence that he had to get people excited about what's coming. And that is just part of a partnership. You're going to do better if you participate in the marketing of your book.
That's right. And the other thing that an author can do prior to release is help their tribe take ownership in some way for the project. So what I've seen authors do is they'll send three possible book covers to their tribe, and they'll say, "Well, you vote on these. Which one would you be most likely to purchase?" Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they select a cover on that basis, and that helps that tribe feel like, wow, I got to be involved in this. I got to own some of this. So that only helps sales.
That's a great point. Okay. So number six is that books are experiences.
Yeah. They're not primarily about information transmission or self-expression or even income generation, though they might be all of those things. Books first and foremost are experiences. So I like to think of writers as experience architects. So when you are writing a book, you are creating an experience, and you want that experience to be the very best it can be.
Yeah, I love that concept, because it really helps you to think about in terms of what journey do you want to take the reader on? Right. You know, regardless if it's fiction, nonfiction. I mean, obviously we know this in fiction setting that we want to take them on a journey, but oftentimes we may not be thinking about in terms of nonfiction. And so what kind of journey of transformation do I want to take them on? And remember, this is an experience. I love that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so often writers think, oh, I'm here to transmit information, or I'm here to let people know what's on my heart. Well, those things are part of it, but your first job is to create a great experience.
So little known fact number seven, the doors to publishing are always swinging open or closed.
Yeah. So when it comes to choosing a topic, make sure you choose wisely, because, this is about choosing a topic. It's also about writing a great book. It's also about marketing. When you write that first book and it goes into the marketplace, you want to do everything you can to make sure that it performs well, because I'll be honest with you, you know, it's a lot easier to get your first book contract than it is to get your second book contract if your first book performed poorly. So that's what I mean by the doors to publishing are always swinging open or they're swinging closed. Your current book is performing out there, and how it performs has a direct influence on whether or not you get the next book contract.
Awesome. So I love number eight, because I think for a lot of people, they think, well, if I'm a first-time author, you know, I've got the biggest hill to climb. It's the most difficult. You know, there's no one knows who I am. And so for all those excuses that often live in our head keeps us from actually putting together a book proposal and trying to get our message out there. But number eight is this: it's easier to be a first-time author with a great concept than a second-time author with a lackluster sales history.
Right. And this is really expanding on the previous one. But the idea here is, you know, you want to always be doing what you can to, you know, if you haven't published a book yet, then go for it. You know, build your platform, propose a great concept, and you are going to have an easier time than an author who's already published and has a lackluster sales history. But the big goal here, the big point here, is to always make sure that you're doing what you need to do to build your platform, build that email list, keep the doors to publishing swinging open, and recognize that as a first-time author, you're actually in some authors would envy the position you're in. Some already published authors would envy the position you're in. I've heard Chris Farabee, an agent friend, say, you know, don't jump into the pool until you know how to swim. You know, mm-hmm. so some authors do that. They jump into the pool before they know how to swim, meaning they get published, but then they don't really know what to do after that. And it's really hard for them to come back to a publisher for the next book.
I hear you that. All right. Number nine is a shorter book proposal is a better book proposal, with one exception.
Yeah. So lengthy book proposals are often lengthy because they're unclear. You know, the author is unclear about who that targeted audience is or what exactly the need is that their book is addressing. They're not clear about how to talk about themselves as a credible source for the book they're writing. All of these things create bloat in a contract or in a book proposal. Mm-hmm. And so, so those are, you know, the clearer you get about those things, audience, the need you're meeting, you as a credible source, what each planned chapter is going to do in your book, the clearer you are on all of those, the shorter your book proposal will be. But there is one exception, and that is the marketing section of your book proposal. You can go on for as long as you want about how you're going to help market the book. Publishers love to read lengthy, detailed plans that authors are going to put into place for their book. So that's what that one means.
Yeah, I love that. And I think this is important because it's not the amount of information you're giving. Because, you know, again, not to use an analogy again, but when I was in the executive recruiting business, I would get those resumes that were 5 pages long because they thought it was better if they put every single thing they needed in that. Mm-hmm. And what's far better is to tailor that resume to a specific job. And so I can see that even being true possibly, and you know better than I would, to a specific publisher. They've got certain types of books they like to publish, and you need to be able to speak to that and tailor it. And if something doesn't fit, cut it out. It doesn't need to be in there unless, of course, it's in the marketing section like you talked about.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Get absolutely clear about the book that you're writing, the need that you're serving. And so, you know, Mark Twain, I don't know if he really said this, but he's quoted as saying, you know, I'm sorry, I wrote you something like, I wrote you a long letter. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough time to make it brief, you know? And so do that work of clarifying the book that you have in mind so that you can provide a really direct and punchy proposal rather than a sort of ponderous and lengthy one.
Perfect. Now, if you'd like to go and check out the blog post and kind of look into the details of it, I'd encourage you to go check out Chad's blog, Chad R. Allen. That's the letter R, chadrallen.com. And you'll be able to find it. Depending on when you're listening to it, you may have to scroll back a little bit in the archives. But also, Chad has put together his book proposal guidelines. Listen, this is gold. This is an opportunity to get some a book proposal guidelines to walk you through that. That's not just coming from another author who got a book contract. This is from somebody sitting on the other side of the table, looks at book proposals all the time, and you're able to get this. We're going to put the link in the show notes so that you can go and check this out. Or you can always go to chadrallen.com on the post. It talks about it as well. And I love this. I love that you took the time to kind of put this together for people. Anything else you want to say about it?
It's the same proposal guidelines that I've given to, you know, countless authors, and that has helped those authors get book contracts. It's not like I give one thing to authors that I think are publishable and another set of guidelines to everybody else. This is the set of guidelines that I give to authors, and it's helped countless authors win book contracts. So I hope it's helpful to your audience.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Chad, for popping in, sharing with our audience. I know for a lot of them that are blogging, they love writing. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, I want to publish a book one day, or they've got a spouse or a friend or someone telling them, you need to publish a book someday. And thank you for kind of clarifying a little bit of the information or the facts that swirl around there, and kind of getting to some truth of what exists in exactly getting published. So thanks so much for sharing.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.